they do. Podcast family, how are you? I trust that you are well. This is your girl MGW, and this is another episode of The Spoken Word. It's a hearty welcome to our first time listeners, and it is continued big up and thank you to those of you who have become family. For this episode, I do believe that there is an encouragement for perhaps all of us, depending on where we are on our journey. And so I want to just encourage our hearts this day. And our topic for today is do it scared, but do it still. Before we go any further, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we pause to honor you. We pause to acknowledge you as the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the God in which we are able. It's only through you, God, that we're able to do all things. We can do all things through your strength. Lord, we recognize that by ourselves, we can't. It's then that we see the frailty of men, and we recognize that we have to be fully reliant on you. So even when we're scared, even when we're unsure, whatever, however our emotions are, we realize that when we come back to you and we remain in you, then we're able to do all things. So as you speak to us this day, we pray that we will be receptive of your words and that we will be encouraged. We ask that you take all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, our topic is do it scared, but do it still. So we're saying that we're going to push past our feelings. We're going to push past just the emotions. You know what they're saying, what they're showing us. And we are going to move to do the will of the Lord. To bring this point across, I'm going to look at a character, Gideon. So let us go into the book of Judges, and chapter 6 to be specific. Gideon, he's considered to be a warrior. He is a warrior. And his name means destroyer, fellow, or one who cuts down. And as we look briefly on how he was commissioned and what he did initially, then we will understand his name. But like Gideon, though he was called a warrior, though we saw him being a warrior in his chapter, his story, Gideon did not feel like a warrior at the start of it. And it is similarly to how we feel. We have been called, we have been commissioned. So that's the word. We have been commissioned to do a task, to do an assignment, but we do not feel as if so. Our names, maybe the meaning of our names, they are as significant as Gideon's name is. But at the same time, we do not feel like our name. It could be because of the crisis that exists. It could be because of, you know, just the environment and the things that are influential or influencing what's happening at the time. But again, let's look at Gideon to see how Gideon was able to do it still, even though he was scared. And let's just go over to Judges 6, as I mentioned, and I'll be between the Message translation and the NIV. There are a few verses that I want us to look at. So let us start at verse 11, and I'm going to use the Message for this one. It reads, "One day the angel of God came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Asbarite, whose son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress, out of sight of the Midianites. The angel of God appeared to him and said, 'God is with you, O mighty warrior.' Gideon replied, 'With me, my master. If God is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracle wonders our parents and grandparents told us about, telling us, didn't God deliver us from Egypt? The fact is, God has nothing to do with us. He has turned us over to Midian.' But God faced him directly. 'Go in this strength that is yours. Save Israel from Midian. Haven't I just sent you?' Gideon said to him, "Me, my master, how and with what could I ever save Israel? Look at me. My clan's the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the runt of the litter." God said to him, "I'll be with you. Believe me, you'll defeat Midian as one man." And that's at verse 16, and I think I want to pause there just for a bit. I think that account sounds very familiar. Familiar to the point where God has commissioned us and we're questioning him. We're asking, you know, how can it be me? Aren't there anyone else with better skill set? Someone who knows how to speak better? Someone who has influential persons around them in their family, in their bloodline? And we find all the excuses. And might I add, this is not even the first. Gideon wasn't the first to find excuses. If we look back, we saw the same thing with Moses. Moses was called to deliver the children of Israel. But when he was called, he spoke about even his stuttering. He spoke that he could not speak. You know, he tried to find all the excuses. The same thing that happened then is the same thing that's happening now. We find the excuses. Lord, I'm not able to balance work with what you're telling me to do. I'm not able to go out. I'm not able to evangelize. I'm not able to. And we find all the excuses. And I do believe that even knowing this dispensation, we're able to justify or find more justification than then to say why we are not able and why we should not do it. Might I add that even as I walk to do this presentation, I'm in the same position. I'm saying, I wanted to find another excuse not to record. I'm saying, I'm not at the place. I'm not in a position. I'm not worthy to. But even as the topic was given, it is speaking to me even now. It speaks to the presenter first. And so I am doing it scared, but I'm doing it still. And that's the encouragement I'm sharing with all of us. So like a Gideon, we have all the justifications. We have all the reasons not to do it. But God has called. And what we have seen over the time and what still happens now is that when he commissions someone, when he calls someone, he also does the equipping. He also does the equipping. And what we saw in verse 13 were the questions. Or for parents, sorry, or family members. They've spoke so highly. They had so many powerful testimonies. But what's happening now? Why am I not seeing what they have seen? Why am I not living what they have lived? And we question and we wonder. We question depending on what we see happening with us. The crisis at that time is that they moved away from what God told them to do. God says, do not worship any other God. In this time, every man was doing their own thing. They failed to obey what God told them to do. And so, as we know, with actions, with decisions, consequences will follow, good or bad. The consequences of this one is that the Midianites were wreaking havoc on them. And so Gideon, in his position, based on what he was seeing, he's saying, where is God in all of this? The Midianites, they have us. We're at their hands. If we recognize, Gideon was actually threshing wheat in the wine press. That's not the norm. That is not supposed to happen. But he had to do that in that way for the Midianites not to recognize. This was his way of disguising what he was doing. When it was harvest time, they would take everything from them. So they were not able to have anything. But God, being faithful, he heard them. And he decided that, you know what? I'm going to save them another time. And it's the same way that whatever calling has been given to us, someone is waiting to be delivered. Someone is waiting on us to not only say yes, but get into action. We have said yes countless times, but how about getting into action? And God says to Gideon in verse 14, he said, go in this strength. And clearly it was not Gideon's strength. It was the strength of the Lord. So in essence, God was saying, yeah, you can do this, but go in my strength. Go in my strength. The strength that you just display, thrusting the wheat in the winepress, that's my strength through you, showing in you, go in my strength. And God told him to go in that strength that he was showing. And Gideon, for Gideon, and like all of us, I mean, so we saw the crisis, the commissioning and the objections, but there's always an assurance, and the assurance is, I am with you. More than often, more than likely, it comes in that way. I am with you. Even if we do not hear the word as blatant as Gideon heard them, or maybe as Moses heard them, there's always something on the inside. There's always an assurance. There's always a confirmation that God is with you. God is with you. And that's the most important thing. That is the most important thing. That's the most important companion. That's the most important assurance. God is with you. So I'm now reminding you that God is with you. Mighty warrior, God is with you. Gideon, like most of us again, he wanted a sign. He wanted a sign. And one of the first signs that Gideon asked for was he wanted to present a feast to the Lord. And let us now pick up at verse 17 to 18 to understand. Gideon said, if you're serious about this, do me a favor. Give me a sign to back up what you're telling me. Don't leave until I come back and bring you my gift. He said, I'll wait till you get back. Gideon went and prepared a young goat and a huge amount of unraised bread. He used over half a bushel of flour. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and took them back under the shade of the oak tree for a sacred meal. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and unraised bread, place them on that rock and pour the broth on them. Gideon did it. The angel of God stretched out the tip of the stick he was holding and touched the meat and the bread. Fire broke out of the rock and burned up the meat and bread, while the angel of God slipped away out of sight. And Gideon knew it was the angel of God. So Gideon wanted a sign. We ask for signs. Some of us are still asking for signs. We've received more than three. We've received so many signs, but we're still asking for sign. And nothing is wrong, because I do believe that it gives a certain amount of confidence when you know that you've got that assurance. So yes, I am with you. And he has also shown for a fact that he's with you. Because what we've come to realize, or what we'll realize as we continue on a journey, on an assignment, is that it is not easy. Which is why we're saying, do it scared, but do it still. There will be objections. There will be persecution. There will be testing. There will be trials. So many things along the journey as you're carrying out the assignment. But when you reflect on the sign that you have received, then you know that you're able to go through. You know that God is with you because he showed up. For Gideon, I love that he showed up as the consuming fire. He showed up as the consuming fire, and the offering that Gideon presented, the Lord accepted it. The Lord accepted it. In Gideon's time, that would have been the method. So he got that goat and he prepared his best offering and he presented it to the Lord, and the Lord accepted it. In this day, what we present is our life. It's our body. It's the different areas of our lives. Not just the one that we present on the corporate day of worship, whichever day that is. But it is what we do in those silent, so-called secret moments when we believe that no one is seeing us. So it's all of our lives, which is what Romans 12 verse 1 tells us. Offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Give God our lives. Have him work through us. So that's the offering. The offering that is pleasing unto the Lord is a broken spirit and a contrite heart that he will not despise. So we're not about slaughtering any animal at this time. If we are doing that right now and we say that we're presenting it to God, it's not Jehovah God. What he wants is our lives. He wants every moment, every second of our lives being presented unto him so that he can work in us and through us. So Gideon's offering was accepted. And when Gideon saw what happened, the latter part of verse 22 says, Gideon said, "Oh no, Master God, I've seen the angel of God face to face." But God reassured him, "Easy now, don't panic, you won't die." And we saw this also happening with Isaiah. Isaiah said, "Woe unto me, I am undone." So we always see this, especially in the Old Testament. When anyone sees the angel of the Lord, then it's always, I can't see God and live. When Moses asked to see him, that's what he told Moses. I'll allow you to see the backside of me when I pass. And he hid him in the cleft of the rock because just to behold the glory of the Lord. So when Gideon saw him then, Gideon thought that, wow, I just saw God. I'm not going to survive this. But the Lord says, no, it's okay. But this was also to confirm the sign that Gideon saw. So Gideon could know that even though he considered himself to be the least of his family, he considered his family to be the worst, and he considered himself to be the least of it, God showed up to him. God showed up to him. You are in a similar position as well. You consider yourself a nobody. You question your lineage, but God has given you the sign to know that, yes, it is you that he has called. It is you that he has commissioned. It is you that he has given the assurance that he's with you. And he just wants you to go. So we're saying, do it scared. Yes, you're still wondering, will they accept it from me? Are they going to dig up in my past and not see what God has done for me? No. Are they going to be stuck on who I used to be? It's okay. Yes, you are scared. Do it scared, but do it still. God is with you. I do believe that we're going to have a part two to this because, you know, there's just so much that is coming out. But I want to just go over to two more verses before we put a wrap on this, because we're saying do it scared, but do it still. And I want you to get the words that speak to that. Let's go down to verses 25 through to 27. That night this happened. God said to him, "Take your father's best 7-year-old bull, the prime one, tear down your father's Baal altar and chop down the Asherah fertility pole beside it. Then build an altar to God, your God, on the top of this hill. Take the prime bull and present it as a whole burnt offering using firewood from the Asherah pole that you cut down." Gideon selected 10 men from his servants and did exactly what God had told him. But because of his family and the people in the neighborhood, he was afraid to do it openly, so he did it that night. That is why we're saying, do it scared, but do it still. So Gideon got everything that he needed to do the assignment. And we saw just now through these verses that he did the assignment. But he did it at a time. He did it in the nighttime as opposed to the daytime, because he knew the immediate backlash and even the resistance and the opposition and oppression and everything that would come. Wisdom allowed him to do it at night. So I'm saying God has given you the assignment. You're scared, but maybe there's a strategy for you to do it still, even though you're scared. For Gideon, his strategy was do it in the night. It was still done. That's the important thing. It was still done. If we recognize and we can understand why Gideon was scared. Gideon was going up against his own father. He was going up against his own household. This cannot be easy. Not in the least sense of it. It's not easy. But God has spoken. God has spoken, God has given the assignment, and it has to be done. It has to be done. I don't know what your assignment looks like. I don't know who you'll be coming up against. Maybe you'll be going up against some religious leaders. Maybe you'll be going up against some politicians. Maybe you'll be going up against some community leaders, some activists. I don't know who it is you'll be going up against when you get into position. Yes, you are scared. But like Gideon, the mighty warrior, that's how he was identified when the angel of God showed up. He said, yes, you mighty warrior, you have been given your name. You are a mighty warrior for the assignment. And so, yes, you are scared. But again, I hope this comes across to you as an encouragement, as a reminder of how many signs that you have received. It comes to you just reminding you of the many assurances that you have received, and you're recognizing that it's now time for you to do it. So whether you do it in the night, whether you do it over a weekend, weekday, whether you do it in the morning, whether you do it in an unconventional way, the point is do it. Do it and ensure that God gets his glory from it. So we saw that Gideon got 10 men and he went on the assignment. How do we know that this was done? Early in the morning, verse 28 says, the people in town were shocked to find Baal's altar torn down, the Asherah pole beside it chopped down, and the prime bull burning away on the altar that had been built. And they kept asking, who did this? And I feel like that is why we're going to need a part two for this, because somebody needs to rise up to say, I'm scared as scared can be. I'm like a scaredy cat. But I must do it still. I recently saw a video. A young lady was giving her testimony. And what she shared was, she was tall. And she was almost couching over the microphone. But when I read the caption said, if she had removed her hands or if she had adjusted the microphone, she would have shown the audience how scared she was. She was shaking. So her hands in her pocket or her hands behind her. I don't remember her posture. But if she was just to adjust the microphone, she's not sure she would have been able to share that powerful testimony. And so you may look different doing it. Someone may be wondering, why didn't she adjust the microphone? Or why didn't he? Or why is she using this medium to bring this across? Or why is he doing it like that? I don't know how God has told you or what strategy he's giving to you so that you can do it still even though you're scared. I'm just saying, I'm the messenger today, and I'm just saying, do it scared, but do it still. The important thing is that you do it. Nike slogans is just do it. So just do it. Scared or not, just do it. And that's the encouragement. That's the encouragement to our hearts this day. And I trust that you will begin to get in assignment. So no longer say, yes, Lord, I will do it. But you will go into the assignment. So make some move, progress. We're not about perfection. We are about progression. So it's time to move away from saying it to doing it. Do it scared, but do it still. I trust that you were encouraged. And this is your girl signing out from another episode of the Spoken Word. Walk good.